Podcast Macabre, Episode 12, Like Popular by Kevin Brown. Welcome to Cast Macabre, I'm Barry, your host. This week we're straight into the story. Kevin Brown's story, Like Popular, was published in the Somerset Review last year. Kevin has had work published in over 70 journals and was nominated for a Journey Award in 2007 and a Pushcart Prize. His first book, Ink on Wood, is scheduled to be published in the summer of 2010. His website is invisiblebodies.com. This week's narrator is Julie Hoverson of 19 Nocturne Boulevard, an award-winning audio drama anthology series. Check out her work at 19nocturneboulevard.com and listen out for Julie's promo at the end of the show. Now, we've a tale to tell you.
Hey, this is Julie Hoverson reading Like Popular by Kevin Brown. Does satire really change the world? No, but it does piss it off a little. By Anonymous. Julie's dad touches her, and she can cry on cue. Christy's mom hits her, so every angry song on the radio, she'll claw her hands through her hair and sing real loud, like it's all about her, just Christy, Christy, Christy. My dad, he's never laid a finger on me. I'm so out of the loop. Seriously, it's like a part of my life is missing. My mother, she died when I was 2, but that's like 11 years ago. To use that to be all, I miss my mommy, I'd only look like a baby. Attention's only wanted if it builds your rep. I need something current. Something ongoing. So one night at dinner, I say to my dad, I say, Dad? Daughter, do you think maybe you might could, slap me in the mouth?
Would I slap you in the mouth?
Maybe make it bleed.
Make it bleed?
Any swelling, that'd just be bonus.
And why would I do this?
I tell him because he loves me.
That's why I won't hit you.
Please? Julie and Christie's parents hit them.
Well, he says, if Julie and Christie jumped off a cliff, would you?
Hello? Duh! They're like the most popular girls in school. Anybody who's anybody knows that.
He wipes his mouth and says, I'm sure they earn their popularity through exercise and good dental hygiene. He says, why don't we try aerobics and braces first?
My dad, he's always just a better future, completely ignoring the shitty now. Please, 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 just this once. Just one good slap and I'll never ask for anything again?
Eat your dinner, he says.
It's not fair, I tell him. I say, I hate you. I'm never speaking to you again. He keeps eating, and I jump up and show my disgust with equal parts spitting, screaming, and stomping about. So I skip the bus, and I'm like walking to school or whatever and trying to think about the perfect messy childhood. When I get this flash, poof, like a charm-ringed backhand to the face. If my father won't abuse me like any normal abnormal father would do, I'll do it myself. Like what we learned in social studies when the government or whatever starts a war to boost the economy. I'll beat myself to boost my popularity. Duh. So what I do is I step over behind the Wallace's hedgerows and I crouch down. I slip all my rings onto my right hand and turn my fist toward me like I'm talking to a sock puppet or something. Then I swing hard, but stop just short of my chapped lips. This is harder than it looks. I close my eyes real hard and imagine us all in third period. Everyone watching the teacher, and suddenly the door opens and the school counselor peeks her head in and says, I need to see Christy Strode, please. Thinking about this, about Christy sliding out of her desk, head all down and walking out, soaking up all those stares, my jaw is twitching. I mean, she's my best friend and all, but she can be a real bitch sometimes. I clench my fist tighter and get it into position. I'm ready. I mean, people do worse for attention. I count to 3 and then slam my fist into my mouth. The first thing I taste is lip skin, and when I touch it with my fingertips, there's just a smear of pink. God, not even enough for an arm around your shoulder. Outside the hedgerows, cars zip down the street, and a bus squeals and hisses in front of the houses. I ball my fist again and turn my face slightly sideways, where one of my crooked teeth is making my lip knot. I swing again, the sound like slamming your palms together inside your head. Again, then again. No one said being popular was easy. After a few more licks, I stop. Test it with my fingertips. This time, we've got something to build on. There's some funny feeling in my lip, and looking down, I can see the blurry bulge under my nose. I even taste a little tooth, or what tooth tastes like after you chip a sliver off. Smiling, I stand and step out from behind the bush wall, headed towards school, for the stage and spotlight. Break a leg, I think, and wonder how much sympathy something like that would get. This thing I did, I just keep doing. Behind the Wallace's hedgerows, before school, I'm creating my very own childhood trauma. If I want a black eye, I black my eye. If I want an earring ripped out, I just hook my finger through the loop and pull. A fractured elbow, I smack my arm against the Wallace's brick wall until it cracks and dangles. No one said being popular was painless. As of 2 weeks ago Tuesday, I only do it on Mondays, and there are two reasons why. One, one might assume my dad went on a drinking binge over the weekend and my face is the result. And two, or whatever, healing time. Swiping my dad's old senior ring, I knocked out one of my front teeth and put a hole through my lower lip. After that, sympathy became strange looks, became being avoided, and I knew I had to pace myself. Seriously, I'd be in the hall talking to Julie and Christy going, and I told Lori, I go, Allie needs to chill out with all the drama. And she goes, wouldn't you just like know it? I mean, wouldn't you just? And I go, she is such a snobby bitch. Picture me telling them this, and they're all glancing down at a trail of bloody drool seeping through my lip, the whole time trying to like smile or whatever. So now, it's once a week. At school, I get teachers asking about a bruise on my wrist, a split lip, or eye laceration, asking, is there anything I'd like to talk about? All loud, I lower my eyes real slow-like and say, no, ma'am, I just fell, or I ran into a door, or I rolled off my bed's all. At home, when Dad asks what's happened to my face, asks if I'm okay, I'm all, like, duff. Duff as in Hillary Duff, Duff being cool, Duff being fine, or I'll just say, I got into it with Emily, that bitch of a bully. I caught an elbow in gym class, tripped in the hall, just back and forth, soaking up the spotlight, not just part of the in crowd, but the whole bitchin' thing. This Monday, I burned my forearm with a cigarette lighter. I stapled the palms in my hands. Last week, I popped a few ribs falling sideways on the Wallace's water spigot. Two Mondays before March, I like rubbed off a patch of hair on a brick hedge. And as soon as I get to school, I have them lining up, asking me if I'm all right. Asking me what happened. After the first 2 weeks, I learn how to cry, even though I'm not sad. With all this attention, how could I be? I even claw my hands through my hair when angry songs come on the radio. Now I'm the tortured soul, the hard luck princess. I bought the book, Family Abuse, You Can Live With It, But God Does It Suck, and read it front to back. I took notes. I am so ready for anything. And one day in third period, the school counselor slips her head through the door and says, may I see Lindsay Doyle, please? To keep from screaming, yes, I bite my tongue so hard I taste blood. All eyes, like, turn toward me, and I slip out of my desk. Head down, I peek at Christy and Julie and everyone's head following me toward the counselor, wishing they were me, wishing their lives were tragic. At the door, I shoot a shy smile at the class, letting a little blood slide over my chin and hit the floor. In her office, the counselor, Mrs. Tate, says, let's just get to the point, okay? Does your father hit you, Lindsay? When a counselor says, let's get to the point, they, like, get to the point. But I know how to play it, though. I tell her my dad's a good man. Does he touch you in any way that makes you feel uncomfortable? He's only doing the best he can without Mom. Here, keep your eyes down. Feet flat on the floor, act all bored or whatever. She asks me if I'm ever afraid to go home, and lo, I say, home is where the hurt is. The hurt, she says. I said, heart, the heart, not hurt. So it goes on like this for, like, ever, and I work it perfectly, giving a sip when she's winding a gulp, parceling out fragments of my own constructed nightmare. Mrs. Tate's practically eating out of my hand, and though I'm not sure she's crying, I pretend she is. She says a bunch of junk about family services and having a meeting with my father and on, just blah, blah, blah. At lunch, I sit down by Julie and Christy, and they're acting all bitchy and whatever. Anymore, they should be happy I'm even talking to them. I mean, seriously, they're no me. Sure, they did it first, but I do it better. The early bird gets the worm, but the early worm gets eaten. Christy goes, look, it's counselor girl. And Julie's like, ooh, isn't she special? And I'm all like, oh, Mrs. Tate wanted me to give you a message. She said she would have called you to her office, but you're like, so 5 minutes ago. Christy says, you're such a little bitch. And you're so ugly now, Julie says. Like she was ever pretty anyway, Christy tells her, smiling. And I go, I guess I'll just go eat with the popular people. And Christy says, duff. And Julie's like, duff with me. And I'm all so totally duff. Tonight's the night, like Cinderella's ball. I'll be glowing when the night's over. It's parent-teacher conferences, when all these lies will play off each other, making me even more the victim. Making this tragedy take a turn. Maybe a big scene will play out. Julie and Christy and all the students with their parents circled around us as I break down saying, I can't take it anymore. Yelling, I'm just a kid. Screaming, I just want to be loved. Everyone with their hands over their mouths, some even crying. I mean, it's child abuse. You'd cry too. Duh. And I'm prepared. This morning, I made a special trip behind the hedgerow. My body shaking with excitement, I got down on my hands and knees, closed my eyes, and slammed my face into the brick wall 3 times. The first, my cheeks went numb. The second, blood slimed away from my face in strings like stretched bubblegum. The third, I guess, knocked me unconscious, because I missed first period and some of second. So we're in the car, and Dad's feeding Kleenex up my nose to staunch the blood still oozing. I'm a little dizzy from blood loss, and I've been passing out off and on, like, all day. The surface of my nose looks like manwich meat. Just how? He says, tossing tissue out the window. Are we going to explain this? All goose and nasal, my head thrown back, I say,
just tell them you're only human.
I mean, you don't even look like you.
Look them straight in the eye and tell them you're not a monster.
I'm not a what?
They'll understand.
What would your mother think about this?
Yeah, bring Mom up. Say how I endured her death or whatever, then throw in something about how strong I am.
Jesus. That I've endured so much in the last few months. Tell them I've had to grow up before my time. That'll look great. Are you kidding me? He yells. Are we completely out of Kleenex? We get to the school, and he walks me in, arm around my shoulder. I keep my head down, passing everyone in the halls. Out of the corner of my eye, I see people stop their steps and stare. One lady says, oh, God! People do worse to be the center of attention. Christy and Julie, out front of me, they're all hand on hip and curled lip, shaking their heads in that bitchy way only second best does. We go into the classroom, and instead of my teacher, Mrs. Tate sits behind the desk. Her mouth is wide and dark, her eyes wide and white. She sort of sits for a second, staring. My dad, he says, she tripped outside in the parking lot. Mrs. Tate said, she trips a lot, doesn't she? Yeah, actually, Dad tells her, especially on Mondays. I keep my head down, eyes up. After a minute, I look back and see several of my classmates and their parents lingering around the open doorway, clawing their way to see Miss Most Popular. See how the story ends, how the hero wins the day. I throw my head back, clench my eyes, and fake sneeze as hard as I can. My head goes, like, really light, and blood sprays the papers on Mrs. Tate's desk. My dad, his face is as red as the blood on mine, and still smiling, he wipes my nose with his shirt sleeve. Mrs. Tate sighs. We sit sort of still a second, Dad and Mrs. Tate not breaking their stare. I can see in his eyes, he knows, she knows, my nose is broken. Sir, may I speak with you? Mrs. Tate says, privately. Sure thing, Dad says, and tells me he'll be right back. But I know he won't. I've done my homework. He'll be arrested, and I'll get some serious attention. It's all right there in the book I read. Step by step, you learn everything you need to know. And it's sad, really, it is. Someday I might even come to, like, regret all this. This living a better now. No one said being popular is without sacrifice. Jesus gave his life or whatever, and look how popular he got. Christy and Julie, behind me, they step in, bitchy looks and all. My dad's getting arrested, I tell them, a blood bubble swelling and popping from my mouth. Jealous? They look at each other and everything. Smiling, her eyes squinted, Christy says, whatever. Abuse is like so yesterday. And Julie says, besides, our parents love us now. Yeah, Christy says, her palm held out in front of me. Family loves in. God, she says, how lame are you? She twirls a curl of hair with her finger and walks away. What a bitch. Like it's always about her, just Christy, Christy, Christy. Julie, she slips a mascara mirror from her purse, pops it open, and holds it up in front of me. Besides, we told you, we don't hang with ugly people, she says, and clicks the mirror shut before I even see me staring back at myself.
I knew a boy in school who was totally obsessed by collecting discarded city bus tickets that blew in through the school railings into the playground. He wasn't popular. There's something to be said for being popular, or at least not socially dysfunctional. We all have to get along. This level of self-harm may seem over the top, but I'm sure we've all done something that's bad for our health just to fit in. But mainly I chose this story, or whatever, just because I totally just love this accent. Yeah. I haven't gotten round to making a promo for Cast Macabre yet, I really should. In the meantime, please arrange for you and your neighbours to all strip naked and dance along the local high street screaming castmacabre.org at the top of your lungs. Thanks. Your efforts are much appreciated. Oh, and there's a new newsletter out. Hasn't been one for a while. Sign up to read an interview with Deborah Walker, our author for episode 2. So we've got a bit of catching up to do. Cast Macabre is distributed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives License, which means you can share it, mail it, blog it, but not change it, or sell it, or tattoo it onto your face, or use the sound waves at high volume to create interesting patterns in sand. You have to say we made it too. Sound effects are from the Free Sound Project at freesound.org, and you'll find links to all samples used in our show notes. Incidental music from musicalley.com. See our show notes for the lovely musicians we used in this show. Theme music by Pain Factor. Whatever, that's like so totally deaf. And now you see why I asked Julie Hoverson to read the story for me this week.
Step right up.
The most
amazing tales appear
before your
very eyes,
gathered from
the four corners of earth and brought here to you
at 19
Noctan Boulevard.
See the famous
man-eating book of Sumatra. Or a phantom
direct
from merry old England.
Whoa.
Or aliens
from beyond
the stars.
Even such as these cannot withstand our platinum death ray.
Yes, our platinum death ray!
All these and more
spread out
before you.
And all
we ask is a moment of your time.
Spin the wheel
and take a chance.
Try your luck!
www.19nocturneboulevard.net